Today, we're going to be talking about the concept of the four doctors, which plays an essential role in all of the PPS teachings. And so without any further ado, let me turn it over to Paul.
Hello, everybody, and I'd like to just begin by letting everyone know that we do have a new multimedia ebook that's going to be released in the next month called The Last Four Doctors You'll Ever Need, How to Get Healthy Now. And if you're not currently on our mailing list, you can go to the ppssuccess.com and put yourself on the mailing list to be notified. I chose the topic of the four doctors today because literally when you understand the principle of the four doctors, they are the last four doctors you'll ever need, with the exception of an emergency such as accidentally cutting yourself or being in a car accident or in the need of emergency medicine. But hopefully these things are few and far between. And as I'm sure most of you are aware, today we have the highest level of chronic disease ever in the history of man, which is things like cancer, chronic fatigue, irritable bowel syndrome, arthritis, depression, etc. We also have the highest rate of teen suicide in the history of man. We also have the highest rate of pathology in infants ever in the history of man. We also have the highest rate of prescription of psychotropic drugs for mental ills and disorders, depression being chief among them. When you understand the principle of the four doctors, these things can all easily be avoided. The four doctors are a concept which I borrowed from my studies of Hippocrates. Hippocrates believed that there were three doctors, and whenever he assessed a new patient, he always looked through the eyes of the three doctors with the belief that pretty much anything that ailed somebody was related either to their happiness, doctor happiness, their diet, doctor diet, or their inability to create space or time for their own personal, professional, and spiritual development, doctor quiet. I'm going to begin with doctor diet, although Dr. Quiet is the chief physician of the physicians. I added a fourth physician, having been in the field of holistic health and corrective exercise and working as a holistic health practitioner for 24 years now. I found that lack of movement is a common problem among most healthcare professionals with their clients today, because in the days of Hippocrates, sedentary lifestyle was not very common, only amongst the very elite, the very rich. Yet today it's rampant throughout society and produces a lot of problems and a lot of disease. So the most important of the four doctors is Dr. Quiet, but due to the fact that today we suffer from tremendous problems with malnutrition, I place the highest importance on Dr. Diet. It's important to realize that you literally are what you eat. Most people don't realize that we turn over some 2 million red blood cells every single second. We turn our bone cells over about every 3 weeks. We turn our epidermis, our superficial skin cells, over approximately every 3 days. And we literally recreate ourselves, bones, teeth, and everything, every 7 years. We completely and utterly replace every cell in our body every 7 years. So you literally are what you eat. You make your body out of your food. Today, about 90% of all the money spent on food worldwide is spent on fast food. I'm sure most of you realize that fast food is loaded with processed, saturated fats and I'm not implying that saturated fats are bad for you. I'm implying that processed saturated fats are bad for you. Food processing is very, very well known to deplete foods of vitamins, minerals, trace minerals, enzymes, and almost all nutritional factors. This was identified both during the First World War and the Second World War, when they had tremendous problems with new recruits showing up with malnutrition. By the Second World War, 50% of British and American soldiers were being turned away due to malnutrition, and when both the British and the American government investigated this, they found that processing food was the culprit. The more processed your food is, the more dead it is. It's extremely important to remember that you must humanize anything that you eat. Whatever you put in your mouth, you must convert that into human tissue if it's to be of any use for you. And if it's not to be converted into human tissue, it must be converted into some nutrient or some molecule that is a resource for the biology of the body. Food also produces energy. Yet to the degree that the food that you eat costs more energy to run from mouth to anus than it delivers, you are eating what is classically called a displacing food, a food that sucks the life force right out of you. It is safe to say that most all fast foods served in fast food restaurants could be classified as displacement foods. Sadly, almost all sports foods or performance bars and drinks fall into that category as well. There are a few exceptions, but predominantly the food that is raised on any commercial farm is so depleted of nutrition and so laden with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and rodenticides that it not only depletes us of our life force, it poisons our body. It's important to remember that what you call you is what's within the confines of your tissues, your skin. When somebody touches your hand, you think they're touching you. If they touch your back, your shoulder, they're touching you. Whatever you bring into your body by breath, by water, by food, or by interacting with another human being sexually, you're bringing into your body. The most common thing you bring into your body is food, water, and air, and therefore it has the most significant influence on the internal environment. Therefore, it is safe to say that your external environment is constantly in exchange with your internal environment. The average human being breathes 25,900 times a day, eats 21 meals a day, and needs to drink at least 8 glasses of liquid to maintain normal physiological balance of their fluids in their body. Now, that should be water. In today's environment, water is extremely important because we have a very polluted environment, and the best solution for pollution is dilution. It is well known that water is the most effective solvent on the planet and the most readily available. Yet to the degree that people replace water with things like soda pop, teas, beer, and other processed drinks, they are not diluting the toxins. They're increasing the toxins in their body, which directly influences your consciousness. Your body is the organ with which you interface with space itself. Space itself is mind. The universe is essentially mind. It is the divine or the absolute mind. Your brain is not necessarily mind. Your brain is a sending and receiving station that allows you to effectively interface with mind. Yet to the degree that your brain is unhealthy, your mind becomes unhealthy. The brain is predominantly omega-3 fatty acids. your brain is mostly fat. It's about 65%+ fat. And fat is where the body stores toxins to protect the glands and organs. Unfortunately, many of the herbicides, pesticides, rodenticides, and fungicides cross the blood-brain barrier, and many people today suffer from ADD, ADHD, cloudy thinking, poor concentration, etc. And they are frequently put on medical drugs which only further toxify the system, yet one need only pay attention to the doctors. If you look at the research of Dr. Batman Jelage, an expert on water, he shows that the brain, an organ that weighs some 1/25 of the body weight, if dehydrated, only 1% will cause significant psychological disorders. Yet in all my years as a healthcare professional, I've never met a single patient, not one, who was asked by their doctor how much water they were drinking, regardless of their problem. So the body you wear, the energy you have, your vitality, and your consciousness are all linked to the food you drink, or the food you eat and the water you drink. Yet, the reason I put Dr. Diet as the chief physician in the modern world is because many of us want to make changes in our life. Many of us want to be more successful. We want to be happier. We want to move on in relationships that aren't working. We want to clean our garage. We want to catch up on our work. We may want to exercise but perpetually feel tired. Change always takes energy. And food is what in Chinese medicine would be called acquired qi or acquired life force. To the degree that your food does not support the accumulation of energy above and beyond what you're already expending, it adds to the burden of the body and decreases life force. Dr. Quiet could be exemplified as stillness. I tell my students in the Mastery Program that to love is to be. And to be is to love. Today we have more problems with behavioral disorders and suicide amongst our children than ever in history. We've developed a consumer-based society where our parents, the children's parents, have come to think that giving them money and giving them toys is an acceptable substitute for loving a child, and all a child really wants is to be with us, to be with the parent. Most of the pathology in human beings can be tracked back to an inability to fully love themselves, respect themselves, nurture themselves, and care for themselves. People are tremendously diverted by consumerism and keeping up with the Joneses, and to the degree that you're diverted from self and have a hard time being present with self, it is likely that you will become anxious, nervous, and have low self-esteem or ego pathology where you inflict yourself upon other people. Dr. Quiet is essentially the silence that carries all sound, the silence that carries voice. It's the backdrop of all things. Metaphysically, Dr. Quiet is the equivalent of the soul. Spirit is the equivalent of the energy that moves soul into experience. We all progress spiritually in three phases in the philosophy of the Persian prophet Zarathustra, also called Zoroaster. He described our spiritual progression as the camel, which becomes the lion which becomes the child. A modified rendition of the modern philosopher Ken Wilber would suggest that we progress in three phases of I, we, and all. First, we must learn to love and care for ourselves effectively, and it is only what runneth over from our cup of self that we can ethically, honestly, and effectively share with other people in we relationships. You cannot give what you do not have, yet we have a consumer-based society, 98% of which is 95 to 98% of the U.S. population, interestingly enough, is one paycheck from bankruptcy, most of which is due to credit card debt, which reinforces this very, very real philosophy that we can't give what we don't have and we shouldn't spend what we don't have. And when we give to others what we don't have, it puts us in debt. And to the degree that we're in debt, we truly turn away from others and our relationships become progressively more empty. So our relationships with self are reflected in our relationships with children and families. And sadly, most of us seek religion, asking God to fix problems that are truly our own. They could easily be fixed with a little bit of help from Dr. Diet and Dr. Quiet. And it's only when we've mastered ourselves and our intimate relationships with those around us that we are capable of and qualified to be in all relationships. Eventually, we all become teachers, either by profession, at work as managers, or by default. Human beings are visually dominant learners, and they're always watching, and somebody every day is always watching each of us and looking. Some of us are teaching people how to live. Some of us are teaching how not to live. We must take responsibility for ourselves, for our relationships, and to the degree that we manage ourselves correctly, others emulate us, and we are either part of the healing force or part of the destructive force. And right now, the planet and humanity is in great need of a healing force. Self-time, taking time for yourself, being brave enough and honest enough to take time to charge your batteries up, to eat good food, to rest, to move, to breathe, and to be present with yourself is the highest form of self-management. And when you take time with yourself, you get to know yourself. To the degree that you know yourself, you become conscious. You become conscious of self. You become conscious of the other. Because to the degree that you can still yourself, you are sensitive to other people. Dr. Happiness is often mistaken for success, particularly in the Western world. Maxwell Maltz says it best. Success is getting what you want. Happiness is wanting what you get. But today many of us are successful. We have flashy cars, big homes, nice clothes, flat screen televisions in most rooms in the house, telephones in the bathroom, etc., etc. But at the cost of being with self, the cost of being with lovers, children, and family. Happiness is wanting what you get. It's also said that we have the highest rate of suicide amongst adults, movie stars, rock stars, and the so-called successful people ever in the history of man, because our success has come at the expense of our happiness. Yet most people have not defined what success or happiness truly is. So they work day and night trying to be successful. And sadly, most people, especially the clients that I see and that many of my students see, when asked what makes you happy, the most common answer we get is, I don't know. In the mastery program, I put great emphasis on getting very, very clear on what success is and what happiness is so that you know when you're there. If you jump on a bus and you don't know where you're going, you'll just ride around forever. Einstein said, your dreams are a snapshot of your future. I encourage all my students to dream big. The psychologist Jerry Wesch said, if you have a big enough dream, you do not need a crisis. Achieving your dream or your dreams or your goals gives you an innate sense of success. And because they're your goals, not your boss's or your parents' or somebody else's, it's natural to feel happy as you achieve your dreams and your goals. And it's easy to feel happy because you've defined what your happiness is. Finally, become the doctor movement. Most people today don't do anything for themselves when it comes to movement. Current research shows only 8% of men and 3% of women worldwide do any regularly scheduled exercise, which includes even walking the dog. Sadly, most people wait till they don't like what they see in the mirror, rush to the gym, hire a personal trainer, and go hell-bent for leather trying to change the shape of their body. Yet the truth is, by the time they get to the gym, most people are in a physiological, metabolic crisis. They're tired, they're malnourished, their posture's poor, their joints are stiff, their muscles are imbalanced, and they don't need to work out, which literally means to expend your energy outward. They need to work in. Today, what we need is not to exercise, which means to cut out. We need to work in. We need to breathe. We need to walk. We simply need movement. We need to pump the body clean. If you dread exercising, it means you do not know how to exercise, and I would suggest that you just find any activity that you enjoy doing, whether it be walking, walking a dog, riding a bicycle, anything. Just do something. 20 to 30 minutes a day can be the difference between living and dying. There are only four doctors that you will ever need. They are Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Happiness, and Dr. Movement. In the PPS Success Master Program, I spend a lot of time introducing you to these concepts and taking you into deep inner explorations so that you can identify exactly how to apply the concept of the four doctors in your own life. And to the degree that you are successful in that endeavor, you radiate that success to all those people that you love around you. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take questions at this time.
And remember, if you muted yourself, you can unmute yourself at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
It's Nick from Sydney, man. How you doing?
I'm great, Nick. How are you, bud?
Good, thank you, mate. I just, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for sharing all that great information with us.
No problem.
I just thought I'd let you know I'm going to be starting the PPS in August, so, and I took your advice and done some other stuff, so I feel fantastic. Thank you for that.
I'm glad to hear it, and I'll look forward to having you on the conference call and doing my best to answer your questions as we go along.
Terrific.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome. Say hello to your partner.
That I shall.
Do we have any other questions for Paul or comments?
Hello, Paul?
Yes.
Hey, this is Richard from Virginia. How are you?
I'm excellent. How about you?
Oh, great, great. I had a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everybody's going to have different strengths and weaknesses or imbalances among these four doctors.
Absolutely.
Is it something that you should do one thing on everything, or is there some things that they take precedence over others and you should work on this first?
Typically, I don't know if you've seen my book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, but it has a series of questionnaires in the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the questionnaires score your level of stress in several categories, and then it gives you a total stress level, which indicates how hard you should be exercising or not exercising. And on page 37 of the book, there's a graph that you tally up. And in the book, if you have a bunch of high scores, I tell you to start from the left. So the most important thing that you can do, if you're under a lot of stress and you have several things going on at once, or say you need the help of all four doctors at once, to the degree that you need the help of more of the four doctors, it's important to start with the quality of your food and drinking enough water. Because to work with any of the four doctors almost always results in us needing to make change. And as I said earlier, change requires energy. And change is really quite a hard thing for us to do due to the way the mind is programmed by our culture, our society, our family, and our friends, and our religions. So in Lesson 2 of the Mastery Program, I give you a very detailed series of lessons on how the brain is programmed and how to reprogram it to get what you want. But the answer really, in a nutshell, is whenever there's multiple doctors to be dealt with, always start with Dr. Diet and move from there to Dr. Quiet. The time you spend with Dr. Quiet can be most effectively used to clearly identify what success and happiness mean to you so that you can recognize when you're there. Once you've got enough energy and you're taking enough time for yourself, then it's a natural thing to do to implement Dr. Movement. That's pretty much the approach that I've taken for many years, and it's worked extremely well even with people that are suffering from cancer and serious diseases.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? All right, James, it looks like we're done for the day. We've had a fantastic call. Thank you, everyone, for participating. And feel free to visit the website to see the outline for our upcoming workshops, which is Lesson 1, How to Find and Live Your Legacy, where we look at what your overarching dream is, and then how to identify your core values and create a logical, achievable plan for achieving your overarching dream and attracting the people and circumstances into your life that match the lifestyle that you want to live. And then we look at Lesson 2, after a day of rest, which is more life, less effort. And in the Master Program, Lesson 2 is called Managing Yourself. So Lesson 2 looks at how to apply the principles of the four doctors to achieve the object of Lesson 1, which is living your dreams and your core value. The workshops include fresh organic food prepared right here at the Institute by the Institute chefs. And if you ask around with anyone that's ever been here, the food is excellent. I look forward to sharing with all of you. Feel free to browse around the PPSSuccess.com website. You're welcome to visit paulcheck.com and read my blog. If you're interested in what I do in my daily life as I travel around the world, you can go to Meet Paul Check and then Paul's blog. And I look forward to speaking to you again, and thank you very much for participating today.
Thanks, everybody, and I'll remind you that this call was recorded, so if you'd like to listen to this call again or any of our other calls, you can visit ppssuccess.com, and all of the recordings are posted on the special features page of our site. So you might check back in a few days, and this posting will be up.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye-bye.